It's been far too long.
Hello, welcome back.
Yeah.
So it's been a while. When were we last?
It was about a month ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, so a lot's gone on.
Yeah.
Anything in the non-news world that's upset you in the last month? Anything happened?
Only some inconvenient academic obligations, but those are out of the way now. So
so we're back. We're back in schedule. It's going to be a bit sort of chaotic for a while, I'm sure. Mm. Not this show, obviously. This particular show.
Well, this show we're going to be covering all the news in all the time since we were last on air. So some of it's going to be news, and some of it's going to be old news.
But you might have missed it. New to you news.
Yeah.
Which is definitely still news.
Otherwise, we'll be giving a cutting analysis of news that you already know about.
Well, that's what a lot of the listeners do tune in for.
Exactly.
So that's important. Yeah. Okay, well, let's do it, because there is a lot to get through. What's the big story of the month? I mean, where are your attention drawn?
Okay, well, let's start with politics, shall we?
Yeah, it's always a good place to start.
So all the talk is about cuts.
Yes.
Gordon finally used the C word this week.
Oh dear.
And but he's saying, we'll be doing cuts, but we're going to be, when we do cuts, it's wise cuts, it's well thought about cuts, and it's kind of economical and efficient, yada yada yada. Whereas the Tories, they're across the board mad cuts that are just going to harm public services, etc. And there's a kind of a lack of subtlety about this debate. I mean, I don't know a lot about running the country, but I would hope it's about more than just how much you spend. People don't seem to be talking about, what they're going to cut money on. Vince Cable has stepped in, the Lib Dem Treasury spokesman, and he said politicians need to stop arguing about generalities and debate when, how, and where the deficit will be cut. But obviously there he's not actually proposing it. He did actually propose some things. He proposed some ideas in a pamphlet for the think tank Reform. He said the time for generalities is over. Instead, we need serious proposals for cutting public spending and tackling the UK's budget deficit, blah, 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 blah.
Sounds a bit like a generality.
It does sound like a generality, but his ideas include scrapping the renewal of the Trident nuclear missile system, which would save $70 billion over 25 years, a zero overall growth for public sector pay, worth $2.4 billion a year, higher employee contributions and later retirement ages, something. But yeah, he's got some ideas, at least.
Okay, that's a start.
It would be interesting to see some kind of televised debate, would it not, so that we could judge the politicians in their...
Yeah. I think, in all fairness, they have to work out what their policies are before they start doing a live debate. That's going to take some time.
Have to happen.
They've had a while and have not.
But interestingly, Cameron and Clegg have both agreed to do a televised debate, which Sky News are going to host. Gordon Brown is clearly quite reticent about the idea, and probably with good reason.
Yeah, indeed. Well, they could have it without him anyway.
Are
they going to have Nick Clegg in there?
They're threatening to put an empty seat there.
And, wow, like have that sort of tub of lard like they did on Have I Got News For You, that's fine.
Yeah.
Are they not going to put Nick Griffin in there, is that, because there's been a big lot of debate this
week
about it.
Yes, they invited Nick Griffin on Question Time, didn't they?
Yes. What do you think about this?
Well, it's a difficult one. As much as I dislike the BNP and disagree with them, they have been elected in certain places, and they kind of, I don't know, they have as much a right to be heard as other people. It becomes, when you're kind of censoring political groups that you don't like, you know, the BBC can't be seen to choose which politicians they agree with or don't agree with, and then only invite the people they want to have on. So
yeah, so that's exactly the point. I mean, you can disagree with it, and I'm sure many of us do, but in order to say that you can't be speaking, I don't think that's really going to work. And I think the thing is that people just think, well, because maybe they have strong policies, if the other leaders from other parties don't feel they can go and defeat them on their policies and point out how ridiculous it is. So it seems like they're scared that they've got a point and we're all going to suddenly become racists if we hear about these policies or whatever. They should really be able to defeat them. If you can't beat the BNP in a political debate, I mean, you really need to retire from politics would be my perspective on things.
Yeah, that's probably true. I was thinking it might be more interesting to see the deputies debate if you have William Hague, because he's really good, and Mandelson. Mandelson's not actually the deputy officially. Would it be Harman, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And Vince Cable.
Well, Harriet Harman's actually, she's been quite busy, so she probably doesn't have time for that. Harriet Harperson, she's been championing the rights of naturists, which is very important, I find. The Government Equalities Office, overseen by Labour's deputy leader, ranks the prejudice faced by those who wish to go naked, wherever possible, as equivalent to that experienced by homosexuals, ethnic minorities, and the elderly. That is a diverse group. If you're incorporating nature, I'm not sure about this, but apparently naturists encounter prejudice in employment. So,
well, if they turn up nude to their job, then that's understandable.
Well, is it? Why should you be so discriminatory?
because it can, well, it's the same way if your office has a dress code and you don't abide by the dress code, then, you know, it's fair enough. Well, if their dress code is wearing clothes.
If you have a religious garb, so you're allowed to wear those. So this is just a kind of natural. I mean, if anything, you're not wearing anything. That's more natural than anything, surely. So
not in our society, it isn't. What society have you grown up in?
Well, no, but clothes are kind of a barrier to nature, aren't they? So
are they?
Well, yeah. I'm nude now, and I feel a lot more comfortable. Yeah, apparently. So yeah, I mean, this, I don't know if this really does count as discrimination on the ranks of that's come in the past against homosexuality.
No, it's probably not exactly
the
same
thing.
But
a little in a boost for nudists, in November, Alton Towers will be hosting its fourth Naturist Only weekend. Quite like to find out what that is, because I don't want to go on Nemesis
on
the day after.
On a roller coaster.
I really don't want to do that. So.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, why do they like that? Why do they enjoy these sort of things? Surely it's going to rub, there's going to be friction. I mean, there's going to be
all kinds of untold issues.
I don't want to be discriminatory against elderly nudists, but it's going to be a tricky operation. Just sheer gravity, we're going to have issues there.
Yes.
So that's
things moving around. Anyway, yeah, let's move on.
Any more politics?
Well, yeah. So Gordon Brown is still unpopular. That's
really
the news. Yeah, but
that's definitely not news.
Now, 48% of voters are saying that literally anyone from Labour's ranks would be better than Gordon Brown. Literally anyone. Although that was without naming alternatives. And the good thing from Mr. Brown's point of view is only 17% can actually suggest somebody else who would be better.
That's pretty much... Well, this is the thing, which the Conservatives, really, all they have to do is to not suggest any policies, and they should be fine to win the next election. If they start coming up with anything, I mean, really, doing nothing, I mean, it's going to be... That is the better alternative at the moment, so...
Yep.
It's going to be tough for them to lose, but, you know, maybe they can still do it.
Maybe. What else do we have? So, over in America, Barack Obama, he's also having a hard time of it at the moment, isn't he?
He sure is. I mean, it's been a tough gig. I mean, we've been getting a bit of a slating, haven't we, the NHS?
We have. Oh,
NHS. Not paper cuts.
Right, no,
he's left us alone so far, I think.
Good. Well, it's only going to be a matter of time before he turns his sights on us to try and deflect the negative press that he's receiving right now.
And you wouldn't want to attract the wrath of Barack, because...
You saw him take out that fly.
He's taken out the fly, and he's also been dropping some diss bombs at other celebrities this week.
He certainly has.
Yeah, should we have a little...
We can have a listen, actually.
The young lady seems like a perfectly nice person. She's getting her award. What's he doing?
Why would
up
he
there?
Do that?
He's a jackass.
We probably should have explained what he was talking about.
He was talking about Kanye West. I mean, if you couldn't guess, the biggest jackass going around. That was recorded off the record, supposedly. As a kind of
NBC or
NBC, yeah, he was doing talking about healthcare or some nonsense like that.
Yeah,
and someone overheard him dissing Kanye West and reported it scandalously because they shouldn't have done. But it's been broken now, so we're allowed to play it.
Yep.
But yeah, so that's why you shouldn't risk the wrath of Barack.
No, and his words have also got him in trouble a few weeks before that. He was talking about his negative press coverage, and he said, there's something about August going into September where everybody in Washington gets all wee-weed up. I don't know what it is, but that's what happened. And a lot of people were a bit taken aback by his use of this phrase, wee-weed up. It's not one that I've heard before, is it? Do you know that one?
No.
We read up. So the press was puzzled. Mike Mamoli from Real Clear Politics said, "I don't know what that means. Is this some kind of Chicago phrase I don't know about?" That was the conservative blogger Michelle Malkin. Is it a euphemism? If so, what for? Do you hyphenate weed? So Time Magazine's Michael Scherer said, he tweeted on his Twitter thing, "Obama just said wee-wee." And the Weekly Standard's Mary Catherine Hamm said, "My little brother's often wee-weed up the pool in August." But then there are some more sinister interpretations of it. Some people were wondering whether the Conservatives would start wondering whether wee-weed up was an old Kenyan Muslim saying.
Probably.
But I
think it's a witch doctor prayer.
Eventually, White House spokesman Robert Gibbs said, "Wee-weed up is when people just get all nervous for no particular reason." So there you go.
Today I watched this clip on an American news show, and the anchor was like talking to one of their correspondents, and then as he was signing off, he said, "Keep fucking that chicken." And the guy tried to sort of smile along with it, and the female co-host looked, I mean, it was, she gave this look of sheer horror, like someone who had just tortured her cat. And we were like, what the hell does that mean? What would that even mean?
I don't know.
That's how I'm going to sign off from
weird,
now on.
Weird sign-offs, yeah.
But we'll be putting that video on the Facebook group, because it's truly spectacular. But yeah, it's very strange. It's very strange.
Mm.
So yeah, go and find us on Facebook if you haven't already. We've grown in members since we've been off air.
Have we?
Maybe that's a good... I don't know if that's a good sign or a bad sign.
Going off air is the way to do... Yeah.
Could probably possibly, but... Other news this week. The Pope has blamed atheists for global warming. Have you heard about this?
No.
Apparently atheists are a bad lot. They're because they don't have any respect for the planet and anything other than themselves, very selfish people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he's saying. And people do forget that Jesus turned water into wine. And what isn't in the Bible is that he then turned that wine into biofuels, which staved off the onset of global warming for 2,000 years. So really, you should get a bit of credit for that.
Mm. Why doesn't Jesus come back and save us all from this?
That's a good point.
We're not,
because no one believes in him anymore. Do you not learn anything from Christmas? If you don't believe in Father Christmas, you won't get any presents. And it's very similar now, because everyone's become an atheist. You know, the big guns are not willing to come back and sort it out. So yeah, at the end of the day, the atheists with their techno-fix science solutions, they really need to give up, and let's get back to magic and prayer. That'll definitely sort it out.
Yeah, a couple of, last time we were on air, I think we talked about gastronomic reasons to avoid global warming, and because the French were trying to persuade people to take action against global warming by warning the public that if they didn't do anything to stop it, then Scotland would have the best wines. And it turns out that there are more gastronomic reasons for fearing global warming have come out.
Tell me more.
First of all, New Scientist is saying that global warming will cause meat to be of poorer quality. And this is all because the quality of meat depends on whether the animals experience heat stress during transport to the abattoir. Cattle begin to suffer heat stress at 20 degrees, pigs at 31 degrees. So if it gets too hot, then you know the meat quality starts to suffer. So that's bad.
Well, certainly the pork-based products that I use seems to suffer some stress at about 200 degrees centigrade. So I can fully understand that.
Mm. And the Guardian Science blog, they've revealed that climate change is already starting to degrade the quality of beer. Yields of hops in the Czech Republic are being hurt, and the quality of the beer is suffering. So more reasons to avoid global warming. And on the subject of the church, there's been a list drawn up of the 10 worst Bible passages, which was quite...
What are you using as worst? I mean,
in the really abhorrent,
the boring ones, or the most offensive?
The most offensive. So number one...
I think these are mostly Old Testament, really, taking it back to the old school.
I think so. So number one is from Timothy. Verse 2, chapter 2, verse 12, and this is his advice about whether women are allowed to teach men in church. And it says,
Sam's reading this from memory, by the way. He's not like these scripts from memory.
I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. She must be silent.
Right.
That was number one. What else do we have? There's the bit about, what's that guy who sacrificed his son because God...
No, he didn't actually do it.
Oh, he didn't do it in the end. It was just a test, wasn't it? It was just a test.
He was that.
That was Isaac?
Isaac. Jacob, son of Isaac, son of someone else.
That's...
I get confused
well.
Between all the stories.
Yeah.
What happened with the animals on the boat?
Animals on the boat.
Which one was that?
Walking
over wine, there was something else. I don't know. I get confused.
Yeah, anyway. So there was... what else do we have? Number two was Samuel, one of the early leaders of Israel, orders genocide against the neighboring people. So, you know, all fairly abhorrent stuff. But yeah, that was quite fun. That was from a website called Ship of Fools, I think.
Ship of Fools.
Mm.
Okay, got some interesting stuff here. The 100 Most Annoying Things poll. This is a big poll that's come out, things that annoy Britons. So I'll just go through what some of these are. I mean, what do you think is number one of the most annoying things?
Is it Robert Peston?
Robert Peston, he doesn't even make it into the top 100.
Is it the BBC's graphics?
No.
Surely in a recession, they need to stop spending so much bloody money on their graphics.
Well, no, it's because the graphics department had to justify their existence, so they're really up their game.
Like, they had that recently, it was the one-year anniversary, that's the word, of the Lehman Brothers collapse. And they had this big arrow shooting down Wall Street and then across the rest of the world.
Brilliant.
What is the point of all this? Like, what is this illustrating?
Well, number one most annoying thing is chavs, in fact. That is top of the list.
Chavs.
They really unite everyone. It's hard to unite Britons, but everyone hates chavs.
What about My Heart Will Go On?
No, again, that's not...
Again,
too,
what, is
too,
it with
too specific.
What is it with buskers in that song?
Buskers don't play that song.
Buskers
do
always play that song.
Oh, you mean
on
not like guitarists?
No, no, no. But yeah, violinists and saxophonists and all the other ones.
People are idiots and they recognise
That song should have died a death a long time ago. And in most areas of society, it has.
I think it was number one for some ludicrous amount of time, they say.
Yeah, if it weren't for buskers, I don't think that song would have trespassed on my consciousness in the last 10 years. But I keep hearing it in tube stations and it's driving me mad.
That's why you need to get a good pair of headphones, you know, and then you can block it out.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's Chav's number one. There's a few other interesting ones here. Toilets you have to pay for, that's number 24. What do you think about that?
I don't mind paying like 20p for a toilet if it means it's going to be clean.
Yeah, I mean, often that's not even the case.
No.
Number 25, the nation's obsession with the Katie and Peter split saga.
That's quite
annoying. Definitely vouch for that one.
Who was polled in this? Because
Daily
Mail readers, then...
Well, yeah, no, they seem to love that. No, we've got... this is in the Telegraph, sorry, they reported it. I don't think they conducted the poll. So 29, people who complain about their weight yet make no effort to exercise or eat properly. I think that extends to most practices. If anyone's moaning about something that they don't, that's really annoying. Mm-hmm. People jumping the queue at the bar, that's pretty annoying.
That's annoying.
The recession, that's at number 44.
God, that's only at number 44. Annoying.
Peter and Jordan are 25, and the recession is 44. But I actually think that's fairly proportional. I stand by that.
Yes.
Finding a flat tyre, that's 54. I didn't see the problem with that. Actually getting a flat tyre, but finding one, that's a bonus. Number 60, paper cuts. Surely not. This poll has just got me plain wrong. After this, we have the...
I'm proud of that, actually.
That's good. Want to annoy a certain sort of section of the population.
Exactly.
The big debate everyone's been wondering over, 65 and 66. It's diarrhoea versus constipation. diarrhoea is more annoying than constipation, apparently. Number 74, cashiers giving you your change on top of a receipt. Does that annoy you?
What aspect
of it is annoying? I don't really...
It's on top of a receipt or on top of a note. It's very difficult to put the coins in your pocket or to put the note, take the note out from underneath and put that in your wallet. If you want to put your notes in the wallet or the receipt in a wallet, it's annoying to have the coins on top.
And, that's true. Yeah. Okay, well, so that's number 74. Other ones got... Sunburn is 88.
That's annoying, but very preventable.
Burning your toast is 87. So people are obviously more concerned about toast than their skin and possibility of cancer.
Yeah.
And 96.
Why do toasters have a setting that burns toast?
Well, because you may have to be defrosting something, I don't know, that needs longer cooking.
I don't know.
Well, some people like burnt toast, don't they? Not the majority of these.
Who?
You know, some people. I don't know. There must be some. If anyone out there likes burnt toast... We don't care. Number 96, someone altering your seat height at work. That would be annoying.
Who does that?
I don't know. But apparently that's annoying. So there we go. So things we've learned. You know, paper cuts, really. Come on, guys. That can't be true.
I think we're not trying hard enough.
That's true. We'll up our game. They obviously haven't listened to this episode yet.
No, I reckon they voted. It was annoying that we haven't been on air for the last
month.
Oh,
of course. Of course. Touché.
That's probably it.
Well, don't worry. Fear it not. We'll be back out of that 100 soon.
Yep.
So, in our shoddy time scale kind of. Consistency. I think that's what people have an issue with.
What else do we have? Oh, it's a time for a return of an old classic.
Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
Yeah, people demanded that Shoe News returned.
People demanded that Shoe News came back, and it has, because Muntaz al-Zaidi, the guy who started it all off, he's been released from prison. So hooray.
Hooray, indeed. Finally out. I feel like we've gone on a journey with him, because it was like one of the first weeks, wasn't it, that we started doing this?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's probably been a very similar year for both of us.
I mean, he's going to come and visit and be a guest on the show just as soon as he's, you know, I think he's very tired at the moment, but he's promised to come on and talk to us.
I think he's going to do a sponsored walk, sponsored by Nike shoes or something like that.
Mm.
Well, we'll see what happens with
I mean, there are a lot of things he could do now. I mean, how about, so what if he was to... he should do a Newsnight-style journalism program where instead of Paxman's kind of aggressive interview technique, if the guy doesn't answer his questions, then he throws shoes at them.
We could call it Shoes Night.
Shoes Night, that's very good. He could host a topical news quiz called Have I Got Shoes For You?
Excellent.
He could host an X Factor-style journalist kind of looking for elite journalists and training them up. He takes them away to a special facility where they get trained. That's called boot camp.
I thought it would be Flip-Flop Idol.
Flip-Flop Idol. Yeah, good. Or he could do a kind of bargain hunt style program where he goes around markets looking to get the best deal on shoes they're throwing at journalists, and that could be called Brogue Trader.
Brogue Trader, that could really work. Yes, I think you should pitch some of those ideas.
I will do.
Don't let them die. And if anyone's listening and thinks they're going to steal them, they got to go through Wong Productions if you want to get that one sealed.
Yeah, the commissioning editors are you know, going to be ringing my phone just as soon as I turn it back on.
You got it turned off, yeah?
Yeah.
Good. Okay, right. Adolf Hitler sex video condemned by AIDS charities. Now, you've got to be thinking, that's an interesting headline, isn't it?
Sex video?
Yep,
Adolf Hitler. Because I heard about the posters. There was an ad campaign. Yeah. I assume this is the same thing, but I didn't realise there was a TV ad campaign as well.
No, you've got to see... I mean, the video, again, I'll put up. It's a little bit racy, but basically... it's a bit of racist.
Max Mosley's going to be onto it in a flash, isn't he?
Probably. Yes. That's libelous. Yeah, that's allegedly.
Allegedly.
So we've got.
They actually got done for that, didn't they? News of the World. Damn.
So that's. We're distancing ourselves from that.
Max Mosley will absolutely not. Wait, hang on.
No, don't. Go on.
They weren't incorrect to say that he liked the Nazi-ness.
Hold on a minute.
No, they were.
Yeah, okay. They were wrong. Oh, okay.
They were wrong. And yeah, I wouldn't wish to insinuate anything like that.
Okay, production. I'm going to have to do a production value decision on that for the podcast. right, so yeah, back to Hitler, less controversial topics. Yeah, so this thing is basically, it's a video. It looks like a kind of advert for a perfume or something, or there's a couple getting really steamy, and there's a bit of nudity, and then so they start, you know, going at it, if you will. And like pans up to the man's face, and it's Hitler's face, sort of getting busy. It's a really disturbing advert.
Do those movements?
That's my sex moves. No, so
we've already established that you're nude.
Yeah, I'm nude. That's true. Well, you can't help but waggle. that's just my natural flow. So basically, this has been criticised because it's going to be stigmatising people infected with the virus. But I think it is an interesting advert. It's basically to say that AIDS is a mass killer. And they're saying that Hitler's the most...
Yeah, they say that they're saying AIDS is a mass killer, but really what they're saying is that people with AIDS are mass killers. Aren't they? Isn't that why people are so offended by it?
Probably that is why.
It does kind of insinuate that, doesn't it?
Yeah. On top of this, it fails to provide any kind of actual prevention message. other than stay away from anyone who looks like Hitler.
Don't have sex with Hitler, yeah.
I mean, that's a lesson I learned in school, so...
Okay, what else do we have? There's been some high-profile deaths recently.
Really?
I work in an office, and the other day, about three times in the course of one morning, somebody in the office shouted, "Oh my God, Patrick Swayze's died!"
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's unfortunate. That's sad.
What else happened? Oasis split.
Someone's died from Oasis?
No, but okay. They split up. The band has died.
Okay. But do we care about that?
I don't know. I'm of the opinion that they're one of the more overrated bands. Of recent.
I mean, if you're talking about buskers being annoying, then that's got to be right up there. Mm. Wonderwall, you know, that's one of the more annoying songs.
Yeah. What else you got?
So apparently, men lose their minds speaking to pretty women. Have you heard about this?
Lose their minds.
Yep. Talking to an attractive woman can make a man lose his mind, according to a new study. Researchers who carried out the study, publishing the Journal of Experimental and Social Psychology, think the reason may be that men use up so much of their brain function or cognitive resources trying to impress beautiful women.
Well, yeah. don't you know, hit me with the jargon. God.
women, however, were not affected by chatting to a handsome man. This may be simply because men are programmed by evolution to think more about mating opportunities. And there's some other great euphemisms used in here. When a man meets a pretty woman, he is what we call reproductively focused. And you know, that's putting it politely, I suppose, or being very patronising, I'm not sure.
Reproductively focused, that's a useful one, I might use that.
I think you could incorporate that into a chat-up line.
Yeah.
You've got me so reproductively focused. What lady's not going to get
stick that in a love song,
that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got this sort of leads a bit onto.
Okay, actually, can I jump in with another piece of research with some dubious evolutionary conclusions? Men prefer websites designed by men, and women prefer those designed by women, according to a new study from Bucks New University. And the differences spring from our caveman ancestors. Gloria Moss, a specialist in human resources.
Yeah.
Does that mean what? She works in HR. It's not the. Is she a scientist at all?
I'm just wondering where do they get the internet history from these. Neanderthal wrist strike.
I don't know.
Those guys are very cautious about online privacy. So
apparently men prefer to design and use websites with dark colours, straight lines, little detail, prominent and regular typography, which look three-dimensional. And they also prefer sites with moving objects, machines, tall buildings, violent themes, male figures and caricatures. Whereas women prefer rounded lines, more colour and detail, unusual typography, static objects, low-rise buildings, female figures and smiling faces. She's a lecturer, Miss Moss, a lecturer at Bucks New University in High Wycombe. And,
that's where I was born. So
was it?
Don't diss everything that came from High Wycombe.
I don't know. I wouldn't dream of it. But yes, her explanation, this is comes from, I don't know, it's a load of rubbish.
We've got here, teachers spot trouble in a name. Have you heard about this? Apparently, teachers think they can tell which pupils are like to play up by looking at their names.
Can you give me some examples of names and see if I can tell whether they might be troublesome or not?
I'm going to give you this list, and you've got to tell me whether these are naughty or nice. Okay. Callum, Connor, Jack, Daniel, Brandon, Charlie, Chelsea, Courtney, Chardonnay, Alicia, Casey, Crystal.
Well, I don't believe that these all belong in the same group.
These are the same group. Which one are you going for?
I'd say probably on balance that that was a nice group.
No.
No?
We're talking about Chardonnay and Crystal.
Yeah, some of them were pretty awful, but...
No, you're completely wrong. The nice group included people called Alexander, Adam, Benjamin, Elizabeth, Charlotte, Tom with an H, Emma,
Tom
Hannah,
with an H,
and Rebecca.
Give me that.
It's there.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's weird.
How strange.
I didn't think there were enough of you to be worth talking about.
No, we're really getting onto the map.
Just you and Tom York.
Yeah, well, that's two. What two more could you want? So be careful when you choose names. We've talked about names in the past, so people really should be careful because it can really have a long-term impact.
It certainly can. Oh, by the way, we had an email from a listener in China who wanted to comment on our previous show.
Really?
Yes. So this listener points out, because last time we were talking about anagrams, I made some anagrams of politicians' names to see if we could, work out what find out something about the politician from their name.
Excellent.
So I used Hillary Rodham Clinton, and you thought that this was dubious because you thought I was using her middle name. But in fact, Rodham is Hillary Clinton's maiden name, not her middle name. She continued to use it after her marriage, but dropped it after Bill Clinton's advisers believed her use of it contributed to his re-election defeat in the Arkansas gubernatorial race. Seriously. She used her full name, i.e. Hillary Rodham Clinton, as a senator and currently uses it as Secretary of State, but did not as First Lady of either Arkansas, except obviously during her first term, or the US. I point this out because it's a perfect illustration of what, as far as I'm concerned, most of the controversy surrounding HRC, yes, HRC, stems from, namely that conservatives are very uncomfortable with her not fitting the traditional mould of a First Lady. I could go on about this, almost wrote my undergrad dissertation on it, if you're at all interested, but I'll assume you've had quite enough already, but my point in relation to paper cuts is that it's not at all dubious to make an anagram out of Hillary Rodham Clinton, because that is in fact her full name. So there you go.
Right. Okay. Fair enough then. I stand corrected. And if you've got any emails, they can be like that, or any other type of emails, please feel free to get in touch. Sam often makes mistakes. They often get away with them, but you know.
You also suggested that the number of Americans without health insurance was bigger than the population of Britain, when in fact it is about 45 million.
All right.
So, yeah. Good show, though. Keep it up. It's
okay. Well, thank you.
That's from Ella. Thank you.
That's a veiled compliment, but we'll go for that. Right. Other news this week. Have you seen this thing about fat thighs that's been raging through the papers this week?
Yes. So people with fat thighs are less likely to get heart disease. Was that something like that?
Yeah. Well, see, this is the problem. The news gone mental for science revelations about these fat thighs. The story was reported using the following headlines: "Thighs the limit in fight for life. Skinny thighs could spell your doom. Fries for those skinny thighs. Thin thighs might be harbinger of heart disease. And would you rather die young or have large thighs?" And I mean, it's a bit ridiculous. And I can actually confirm I've got hold of the original paper.
Have you?
Yeah, this is while I was at the BMJ. The author is Professor Mix-a-Lot.
Mix-a-Lot?
Yeah, I've got the abstract here.
Mix-a-Lot?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
"I like big thighs and I cannot lie. If you've got thin pins, you're going to die. When a girl waddles in with some supersized thighs, she's like Leslie to be paralysed. You can't get me in a funk lest I see those chunky trunks." So, yeah, just to clarify, it's very important to read the original papers to avoid sensationalism. So,
good, yeah, get to that primary literature.
It's important to do. Other news, Darren Brown did something with the lottery.
Yes.
But really, this is not very impressive, because this has actually happened in Bulgaria, and this may give some clues as to how it was done. The Bulgarian authorities have ordered an investigation after the same six numbers were drawn in two consecutive rounds of the national lottery. The numbers 4, 15, 23, 24, 35 and 42 were chosen by a machine live on television on the 6th and 10th of September. An official of the Bulgarian lottery said manipulation was impossible, and apparently the chance of this are 1 in 4 million. But coincidences do happen. So there you go. I don't know what to make of that. Is that what Darren did? What went on there? I didn't see it.
Darren, this was actually really terrible. So he, on Wednesday, predicted the lottery numbers, or rather, he had a row of balls which were facing away from the camera. And next to it, though, he had a screen which was showing the BBC coverage of the lottery live, and he stood there and he wrote down the numbers as they came up, and then he walked over to his balls, turned them around, and revealed that the balls that had been standing there the whole time with just a continuous shot, no cuts or anything, those balls had the same numbers on. So it's a good trick, it's a good illusion, and he promised to reveal how he did it on the Friday. But on Friday, he didn't. He gave us a completely bogus bullshit explanation about getting 24 people in a room, getting to do some wishy-washy crap called automatic writing, and then taking averages of the numbers that they wrote down, or then rather the numbers that he interpreted from their writing, which they weren't really thinking about.
Right.
And that's how he did it. So I'm an admirer of Darren Brown's, and I was rather appalled by this.
He
wasted an hour of my life. I mean... Yeah.
Well, I didn't actually watch it, so I'm quite glad, really, in the end of things.
Yeah, don't bother. It was a waste of time. But then, if you think about it, with this Bulgarian thing, so the chances of... If 4, 15, 23, 24, 35, and 42 had come up one week, then the next week, the chances of 4, 15, 23, 24, 35, and 42 coming up are the same as the chances of any other combination you care to think of.
Indeed.
But, it looks pretty... dodgy, but if I don't know, how would you?
I guess it would.
How would you fix that?
I have no idea. I wouldn't want to sort of suggest if anyone wants to fix a lottery out there. I don't think we should be giving them tips, but
no.
Certainly it's certainly possible. 1 in 4 million. I mean, that's your chances of winning the lottery. You've got to be, you know, even greater than that. So obviously, stranger things do happen. Other controversial news, unless you've got any more about the lottery.
Any more about that? No, I don't think I do.
Okay, I've got... This is probably my favourite story of the month, maybe even. Germans angry as tins of Heinz have fewer baked beans. Fans of baked beans in Germany and Austria were furious yesterday after it emerged that tins of Heinz contained fewer beans than cans sold in Britain. European fans of the product, which for decades has been sold with the slogan "Beans means Heinz," were outraged after the British variety was declared superior. It's more watery and has a less tasty sauce than the British equivalent. It's been launched. There was a launch earlier this year of Heinz Gebackener Birnen, which means same thing in German. So it's nice.
That was only launched this year.
Yeah, with that tagline.
Oh right.
So yeah, they did a poll and apparently we get 5% more tomato sauce than the Germans, and theirs has more water, sugar, and salt instead.
Does Heinz actually come from Germany, or is it not?
No, I don't think so. Heinz Joseph from Germany said he was disappointed with the new product. "I was a student in London and bought them because they had the same name as me, and I really grew to love them. I was delighted when they went on sale in Germany, but then I realised they just don't taste the same. I think it's very unfair to German bean lovers." And I think we can all get behind that.
Yeah, it is unfair.
Let's hope we don't have a diplomatic incident.
Or World War or something.
Well, exactly. I mean, you've got to say it's unlikely, but you never know when they might go for the hat-trick, and this could really give them that excuse.
Yeah. This week there was a big furore about when the TfL, Transport for London, proposed removing the Thames from the tube map.
Sorry, removing the Thames from
London. No, they were going to remove the Thames from the Thames is the only kind of geographical feature that's on the tube map. It's just kind of, you know, a systematic diagram thing.
Gives you a south-north divide.
But Londoners were in uproar at these proposals, especially Boris Johnson, who really didn't take it very well, and he ordered that they restore that. Well, he said, "I'm not going to allow this," and they U-turned. I don't know whether this was because of Boris or not, but apparently they've reconsidered in light of the public reaction.
I think it's just Boris, you know, sort of getting a bit more public support behind him for his inevitable premiership charge.
Perhaps. What's that noise?
That's the jingle for... Play the jingle for Wong's Bongs.
Wong's
Bong.
Lost cat turns up 500 miles away.
Bong.
Children's football team ends 90-game losing streak.
Bong.
Research claims legendary man-eating bird did exist.
Bong.
Massachusetts Institute of Technology gets rickrolled.
Bong.
Former Asda worker caught licking raw chicken.
Bong.
Nepal runs out of goats to sacrifice.
Bong.
Banana sex cult leader hunted by police.
Bong.
Atheists have more success at online dating.
Bong.
Speeding drunk driver collects 56 tickets in 13 minutes.
Bong.
China covers suicide bridge in butter.
Bong.
Alabama boy fakes kidnapping to hide bad grades.
Bong.
9 pound 9 ounce baby born at 9:09 on 9th of the 9th, 2009.
Bong.
11-year-old boy finds pink grasshopper.
Bong.
Couple marry dressed as the Flintstones.
Bong.
Nuclear experts clean radioactive site with Silit Bang.
Bong.
13-stone burger is the world's biggest.
Bong.
Wars of Love ignites Sharks Mojo.
Bong.
Woman 107 seeks 23rd husband.
Bong.
Hedgehog trapped in yogurt pot.
Bong.
Celebrity macaw attacks police officer.
Bong.
Windy Austrian fined.
Bong.
Men with long ring fingers drive faster.
Bong.
Fat bus drivers ordered to lose weight.
Bong.
Dog given parking ticket.
Bong. Damn it, it's going so well.
Goldfish survives 7 hours out of bowl.
Bong.
Mysterious glow in the sky was astronaut urine.
Bong.
Armless getaway driver drove at 160 kilometers an hour.
Bong.
Women cannot keep secrets for longer than 47 hours.
Bong.
Pudding renamed Spotted Richard.
Bong.
Whew, that's Wong's Bongs for this month. That's done. There's a lot going there.
Yeah. Maybe just leave it there.
Yeah.
There's far too much to go into.
The other thing is meat-flavoured chocolate hit with men. What would you make of that?
Meat-flavoured chocolate hit with... Oh, it has been a hit with men.
Yeah. What did you think it was?
They have been hit
with a man. That seems to cross all sorts of grammatical and...
Meat-flavoured chocolate?
Yeah.
That's just weird.
You'd love this. It's a weird combination, but they went together amazingly well. There's a smoky taste to start, then a strong chocolate flavour, and in the end you have a wonderful taste of salami. So...
Is it all men, or particularly men with long ring fingers, or...?
They haven't said here. Okay. I think it could be that.
This is probably my favourite story. An office worker was sacked for sending emails in block capitals because apparently they were seen as too shouty and confrontational.
I've got to agree with this, really, to be honest.
Yeah, I've got to say I'm in agreement with the sacking, but the tribunal did not agree. They've awarded the woman $17,000 New Zealand dollars after the tribunal found that she'd been unfairly dismissed in December 2007. But apparently she also behaved provocatively by highlighting key phrases in bold or red. In one office-wide email presented as evidence at her tribunal, she typed in bold blue letters, "To ensure your staff claim is processed and paid, please do follow the below checklist." She said it was ridiculous to describe her email as confrontational, saying she was only trying to ensure that her colleagues filled out their forms correctly. But I can't, that's just, I can't abide by that kind of thing.
No, I think you should just run it. I'm sure people will take your point if you run around shouting at them all the time, but... I'm not a fan of that, because it wasn't that she wrote the entire email in capital letters, which is annoying in a different way. It was that she emphasised certain shouty, aggressive points.
Yeah,
which is, there's really no need for that, is there, at the end of the day? Mm. It shows you're a poor communicator if you can't get your message across.
Absolutely. It's very prevalent in comment threads, isn't it, on the web. Some people just, I don't know, they think it's some kind of substitute for eloquence or...
Well, I guess in a way it is. If you haven't got a lot of words, then you've got to stick
to make them bigger.
Absolutely.
The panel found that although she'd caused friction in her office, the conduct did not amount to grounds for dismissal, and also her firm had no email style guide, meaning employees could not be certain about what kinds of communication were deemed unacceptable. Do you think it would be a good idea for firms to provide email style guides?
I'm sure a lot of places do, because
do
I guess...
They?
Yeah, I reckon so. I bet your place has got them. There's just a general thing. Because if you're sending them out to emails to other people, I mean, external rules, then you should have some kind of general system just about your signature and stuff like that. So I think it's reasonable. Don't swear all the time. There blatantly is one, because there's so many internet issues,
aren't
there?
Yeah, but can people not just be expected to...
Absolutely not. You cannot trust people to look after themselves. You must, in fact, regulate them at all opportunities. Yeah,
okay.
There's no arguments there.
Fine.
Prince Harry wears Rastafarian disguise to go out in public unnoticed.
I saw this. Interestingly, I read this in the Telegraph, and the Telegraph said that this story had come from the Mail, but I tried to find it in the Mail, and it had gone. So I don't know if the Mail had withdrawn it because it turned out to be...
well, you can't tell what's going to be a lie or the truth. We can't really say. You know, I'm not trying to... A spokesman for Prince Harry, and that's a spokesman.
A spokesman, I mean, not just a source.
Not just a source, that's a spokesman. It would not confirm if he regularly wears the disguise. We don't comment on private matters, he said. So you know, who can tell? It's a good disguise to go for. The prince has been seen wearing the Winston outfit on a night out. And apparently, Prince William is said to wear a moustache and a flat cap when he wants to go incognito. That's not the best disguise.
Yeah, I think people would see through that.
Yeah, I think possibly so.
So I mentioned Robert Peston earlier as being one of the things that most annoys me in life. Earlier, actually, a couple of weeks ago, he was involved in a slanging match with James Murdoch after a speech to television executives in Edinburgh. There was an official dinner after the speech, and Murdoch and Peston were sitting with the Newsnight presenter Kirsty Walk and the BBC chairman Michael Lyons. And they got into a discussion about banking deregulation, which moved on to a flashpoint about whether or not the BBC was patrician. And apparently Murdoch banged on the table and shouted, "How dare you!" And then Peston shouted back, "If you think you can get fucking angry, I can get fucking angry."
Wow, I can't ever imagine Peston swearing. That's powerful.
Oh, I bet he does. I think he's an angry man.
Really? Yeah. Does Murdoch sound like that? I imagine he would sound kind of American.
Is he not Australian?
Well, yeah, but I bet he's never lived in Australia, has he?
I think he has a pretty strong Australian accent, actually.
I just assumed he would be Americanized.
No,
my bad.
No, you can't change an Australian. I live in Shepherd's Bush. It's not like, you know, the Australians who live there, they stay in their Australian communities and only frequent Walkabout. And, well, that's not true. They frequent lots of other places, which is annoying. It'd be fine if they were only in Walkabout. But
this is starting to sound like apartheid. Apartheid. Just a year. We need to be very careful. You're really overstepping the line. I'm going to have to look up my producer style guide to see how much of this we can get away with. We've got a story here. Reality TV stars Jim Bob and Michelle Duggar expecting 19th child. They're expecting their 19th child. They're from Arkansas, and apparently they're thrilled to be expecting a new addition, despite already having 10 sons and 8 daughters, from 8 months to 21. The Duggars are on a subject of an American reality TV series, 18 Kids and Counting. Michelle Duggar, 42, told People magazine, "We are so thrilled. We just couldn't believe it is happening." Really? You couldn't believe it? The show's called 18 Kids and Counting.
They do know where kids come from, right?
I don't know. I mean, if they didn't know what they needed to get the show recommissioned, I'd be very surprised. Jim Bob, 44, added, "This never gets old. We are so grateful for each child. We are looking forward to our first grandbaby and our 19th child." The couple's eldest son, Joshua.
How old are they?
What, the kids?
No, the parents.
44 and 42. I mean, they've really packed it in. Imagine what, you know.
That's going some.
Exactly. I bet they just fall out now. Right. Okay. They've confirmed the new baby will be given a name beginning with the letter J, just like all the couple's other children.
Oh, my God. Go on.
The existing Duggar children are called Josh. That's right. Twins Jaina and John David. Jill, Jessa, Ginger, with a J. Joseph, Josiah, Joanna. Twins Jedediah and Jeremiah.
Jedediah.
Jason, James, Justin, Jackson, Johanna. Now that's easy to mock, but it takes balls to add another HG name. Jennifer and Jordan Grace. I mean, where do you even start with that?
I was thinking about adding extra H to my name, but I thought I'd be a sham.
You would be. There's some fascinating Duggar facts calculated by the Huffington Post. If the Duggars continue to breed at the same rate, the next generation will have 400 members. The third generation will have 8,000, the fourth 160,000, and the fifth 3.2 million. This would mean one in every 100 people in America would be a Duggar. There would be more Duggars than Latvians. That's probably a big worry for Latvia, a much invaded populace.
Yeah.
And there would be more Duggars than residents of America's 21 least populous states. So,
wow.
Got to be worried there, haven't you?
This was a surprising story to me. A man successfully charged Pret-a-Manger and Eat for the time he spent queuing in their shops. Paul McCrudden, a digital strategist. Does that mean he plays Command and Conquer a lot?
That sounds about right to me.
He recorded all the time he spent as a consumer during 6 weeks from the middle of June to the end of July, and he sent invoices to the 50 companies that he used. He charged them $25.50 an hour, which is 25% of his usual hourly rate at work, to reflect the fact that the time spent with them is not as productive as it is with my employer. So far, four, Pret, Eat, Little Chef, and an independent cafe called Squat and Gobble have agreed to pay him in either cash.
That's disgusting. Squat and Gobble. That sounds like a sex act.
Well, I don't know what you get up to, but they've
certainly
agreed to pay
more than £25 an hour, that sort of
shit. Or vouchers. Julian Metcalf, founder of Pret, even added £1 for the time he presumed it had taken for Mr. McGrudden to walk to the post box in order to send his invoice. So Mr. McGrudden explained on his website, "My time on this planet is limited, and such I want to spend it as wisely as possible. It frustrates me, therefore, that every day of my life I have to waste time standing in queues, waiting to buy some product or service that, in the big scheme of things, I don't really care about." Don't do it, then!
Yeah, exactly. That's ludicrous. I can't believe they're giving him the money. This is mental.
But
he doesn't have to go there, so it is ridiculous.
Yeah, not all the companies have taken so well to it. Nick Charlton, the managing director of Cranberry, the fruit and nut seller, initially retaliated with an invoice for £18.75 for the 12 minutes of my valuable time that it took him to read Mr. McCrudden's letter.
I like that.
Mr. McCrudden duly sent Mr. Charlton a cheque, though he included another invoice for time spent on a subsequent visit to Cranberry. Eventually, Mr. Charlton agreed to give every customer a free Cranberry loyalty card, though he suggested that Mr. McCrudden was a nutcase.
That's brilliant. I've got a lot of time for that.
He's got a lot of balls.
He does. I've got, speaking of squat,
we're going to be inundated with people charging us for the time it takes to listen to paper cuts.
About like 30 hours worth. How much would you charge? Do you reckon anyone's actually listened to all 30 hours?
Apparently Mia has.
Really? Wow. Good work, Mia. You're a loyal fan. Yeah, I've got some stuff. This is other productive uses of time. Twittering on the toilet, Britain's bathroom habits. 3/4 of Britain's text, blog, or surf the internet whilst on the toilet, according to a poll. More than a third said they sent a text message. 33 said they have a phone conversation, and 7% had searched the internet. So surely there's more than a third of people that have sent a text message whilst on the toilet. It's got to be more than that.
I don't know. Yeah, I've definitely done that.
This apparently, men were more likely to look for a distraction. This is anecdotally popular evidence. 14% said they'd read a football match program. 18% completed a crossword or Sudoku. Twice as many men read newspapers and magazines than women. Former England cricketer Phil Tufnell launched the awareness campaign
for doing activities on the John.
This is the launch of Gut Week.
Gut Week?
Yeah. He said, "Touring the subcontinent, we tended to spend a lot of time in the toilet through no fault of our own, and in these circumstances, the odd toilet read was understandable."
Sure. The booze with that?
I think a shed load of booze and maybe some hot food. However, looking at what Brits get up to on the toilet makes you think that something isn't quite right, as we are spending too long doing our business. You know, it's not because of that. It's because we're lazy. I think people are sat there for that long, you know, just like it's anything. People just go and use it to waste a bit of time. They say, some people occupy their time. This is a Simon Gabe, a consultant gastroenterologist. Some people do occupy their time on the toilet for all sorts of reasons, with a newspaper or a book, but now it's using wireless internet and stuff. Generally, this is harmless, but there are a few health risks worth being aware of. They said there are problems which can arise from spending too long, such as hemorrhoids, bleeding, and worsening problems with emptying of the rectum. And they talk about eating. Apparently, people eat on the toilet, which we definitely wouldn't recommend. We just say that.
Yeah.
Do not eat on the toilet. That would not be good.
There's those adverts for some kind of cleaning product that used to warn that your chopping board has more bacteria than your toilet seat.
Yeah. That's probably true, but
kind of mind-blowing. I mean, does that mean we should start chopping vegetables on our toilet seats?
Yeah, that's the message I took from that particular advert anyway.
There was a story, food-related story, or rather drink-related story. You drink a lot of milk, don't you?
I do drink a lot of milk. Should I not, or am I doing the right thing?
No, I think you're doing the right thing. It's good for the whole calcium thing. But in terms of trends in people's consuming habits, the 1% fat milk is soaring, apparently, in popularity. It's predicted that it's going to overtake skimmed and full-fat products in popularity.
But like 1% is not skimmed milk. That's like another one in between skimmed and semi-skimmed, isn't it?
Yep. So I think semi-skimmed is like
0.1 or something like that.
No, semi-skimmed is about
2%. Yeah, yeah.
And then this 1% is like in between. But the Food Standards Agency said that sales have risen after a multi-million pound ad campaign urging consumers to cut their intake of saturated fats. Are you a fan of the 1% fat milk, or
well, I
what
I
kind of milk do you normally
I drink
for?
Skimmed milk. normally.
You get skimmed milk.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
No, it's good. It's horrible. Get used to it. You just, it's whatever you're used to. I used to drink semi-skimmed and would never touch other stuff because it's watery, but it's actually fine. It's a decaf latte. That's how I refer to it.
Even the cheaper.
It's 45p for a pint of milk.
The 1% is too rubbish for me.
No, be fine. You get used to it. You get used to it.
I mean, I lived in Hong Kong until I was 10, and over there you couldn't get semi-skimmed. You could only get full fat or skimmed. So we grew up on full fat, and then
I can tell.
Initially, I found semi-skimmed a bit kind of difficult to get used to, but I got there in the end.
This is what I'm saying. You'll have the same thing.
Maybe
we're rapidly running out of time. So let's round up some of the other news this week. Something popular I found on the internet this week. You know, you get these things on Amazon saying people who bought this also bought this. There's one here for an aluminium. This is on a German version of the German Amazon.
Right.
Aluminium baseball Schlager, 30-inch American baseball bat, and it's got the other Kunden, die diesen Artikel gekauft haben, gekauft act. So this is other things people bought, including a baseball bat. They also bought gloves, balaclava, pepper spray. So really, you should be worried about that. But that's a genuine purchase setup worrying there.
Okay. Apparently Robin Williams is keen to play Susan Boyle in a film.
I look forward to that.
That sounds weird. And Bob Dylan has been approached by sat nav companies to be the voice of their sat nav.
We did that last time.
No, he didn't.
Didn't we? Okay, well, Bob Dylan would be brilliant. Yeah. I would just like to say.
Maybe we didn't. We talked about Bob Dylan kind of wandering around aimlessly, didn't we?
Oh, right, yeah, true. Well, no, Bob Dylan would be a great sat-nav. I would love to have him online. There's a project called 1 Million Giraffes. This is a man who made an eccentric bet to try and get 1 million people to draw a picture of a giraffe and send it to him. They've got over 130,000 at the moment. If you want to do that, go to something. Google it on the internet.
Okay. Been a lot of sporting scandals recently. Some Formula One team were apparently deliberately crashing, and there's the rugby, the blood, fake blood thing. Semenya, the runner, who's a man-woman. Serena Williams was shouting at somebody recently, Adebayor at the weekend for Man City. He's not only... provoked the Arsenal fans by celebrating in front of them, but he also apparently deliberately kicked his former teammate Robin van Persie in the face. Yeah. And van Persie had quite a strong statement saying, it wasn't that strong, really. He said, I found it disrespectful, which I thought was, you know, surely it's a bit more than disrespectful.
Van Persie's been a bit of a thug in his own time.
That's true. It reminded me of that Flight of the Conchords bit where Brett abandons Jermaine when he's getting mugged. And he said, you don't abandon your friends when you're getting mugged. It's the height of rudeness.
I've got babies face police weapon searches. Apparently, a Freedom of Information request found that a one-year-old and two babies 0 years of age were stopped and searched by Norfolk police. And I think they've been definitely watching too much Family Guy. Get back to work.
Oh, by the way, we're looking to invest in some recording equipment. And we're always looking for sponsors for this program. But if you'd like to sponsor the recording equipment, then we'd credit you as a sponsor for as long as we use that recording equipment.
That's true. Or if you want to give us a studio, that's allowed as well.
Because there are time we're going to no longer appear Imperial students soon.
That's true.
So we won't be able to use this lovely IC Radio studio that's been our home since January.
Indeed. So yeah, if you've got some studio space or some money,
or you want to buy
space,
some equipment,
yeah, do.
Or contribute towards the funds of some equipment, then
go on the Facebook group.
This is a good marketing opportunity for you, I think.
Exactly. We'll push. We'll make jingles and stuff and all manner of exciting things. Bed sharing bad for your health, apparently, this week. My immediate thought is that I should have less colds.
Fewer colds.
And better grammar. So that's it. Things you can buy on Craigslist. Ralph Nader's chair.
Who's Craig?
Craigslist is an American website, like whatever it is, eBay. You can buy Ralph Nader's chair. You can get... someone wants a woman to sit in his bath full of noodles wearing a bathing suit and you get paid $1. That doesn't sound like a good deal. So there's a lot of weird stuff on here. Pope hats. Because of this terrible economy, I'm going to shut down my business. I have over 1,300 Pope hats that I really need to get rid of. The hats came from China and are too small for most adult heads and also irritating to the skin, so you'd need to have long hair or wear a smaller hat underneath, just like the real Pope. Dogs do not like to wear these Pope hats, but maybe a large cat or a nice dog would wear one. So there you go.
Good.
That's probably a good note to end on. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks.
We'll be back next week.
Sorry we were gone for so long.
Yeah, indeed.
But you missed us.
I'm sure. Thanks to everyone who sent us a really nice message. They got some really nice emails and messages from people saying they missed us and they enjoyed the show. So thank you, and feel free to send us more of that. or criticisms.
And a check.
That's all allowed. And money. We'll be back soon. Goodbye.
Bye.
Keep fucking that chicken.